Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos is Lamed. We're towards the bottom of Chav Tesamid Base. We are now in the second daf of the third parak of the Masechta. Yesterday we go back, please, to the beginning of yesterday where we gave a somewhat lengthier introduction to the third parak, but our topic is Onus and Mefata. Specifically, we're going to be focusing more on Onus, a man's man is a woman. So it is, it's Nezek, it's Nizke Haguf, it's an assault. But in addition to that, and having to pay all the chiyuvim of Nizkei Haguf. But in addition to that, there's also other onshim in the Torah. So the Torah speaks about it in Parshas Kiseitzeg, where a man's man is a woman, so he has to pay the father of the Nara Chamishim Kesef. And on top of that, he must marry her, again, if she's interested, if she's consenting. And on top of that, he can also not divorce her. There's a law now in the Torah in which he cannot divorce her. So these are the compounded punishments that are placed on top of the fact that it's nezek, it's assault. So what we discussed yesterday in the first mission, the first daf of the third parak, is a very simple idea, but subject to a major machlokas, and that is the following. Let's say he can't marry her, meaning that right now the Torah has it that their marriage would be prohibited if in fact he married her. Mishnah gave a number of different examples. Let's say she is a mamzeris or a nesina or a kusis. So if he can't marry her, so is there still going to be a knas? So our Mishnah's position is very simple and very clear. Yes. In other words, these two punishments do not go hand in hand. In other words, then these two onshim can be decoupled. By fact that you can't marry her will not exclude the other onish of Chamishim Kesef. So our Mishnah is of the position that there is going to be cases in which you're going to be paying the Knas of Chamishim Kesef, even though you cannot marry her. Then what we did yesterday is we noted that Tanaim disagreed with our Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah is the viewpoint of one Tana, but other Tanaim are in disagreement, notably the Rebbe Shimon's. Right, you go back to yesterday's daf on Chav Tesamid Beis. So right in the middle of the Amud, so the Braisa introduces us to Shimon HaTimani and Shimon Ben Manasseh. Shimon HaTimani, Shimon Ben Manasseh say that these halachas are not to be decoupled. These onshim are not to be decoupled. And therefore, in a place where you cannot marry her, you don't pay her kanas. In other words, they go hand in hand. Okay. Now, in terms of why there are two Rebbe Shimons, they say it a little bit differently than one another. And so what we're going to be doing at the beginning of this morning is finding that small space of disagreement between the Rebbe Shimons. Going back to the Braisa yesterday, the Braisa says that according to Rebbe Shimon, Teimani Isha Shiesh Ba Havaya, a woman where there would be Tfisus Kedushin, that if you attempted to be Mekadosher, so the Kedushin would work. In other words, once there is a woman who, when you're Mekadosher, there's no Tfisus Kedushin, Kedushin will not work. That would be, examples of that would be Chavi Krisus. So, right, basically all the arayas in the Torah, almost all the arayas in the Torah. So, under those circumstances, so if there's tfisus kedushin, so then there would be a kenas, and if there is no tfisus kedushin, then there would be no kenas. That's one way to say it. The other way to say it is Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, and he says isha ruila kaima, a woman where after marrying her, the marriage can sustain. In other words, you don't have to divorce her because the Torah prohibited that union. They're basically saying the same thing. In other words, in order for there to be a knas, she has to be marriageable. If she's not marriageable, so then there is no knas. But they're not saying it exactly the same. And the Gemara wanted to know, well, okay, fine. So they're not saying exactly the same. Is there any kind of difference between the two? So again, just so that we don't lose sight of the forest right now, because we're going to be amongst a lot of trees. So we don't lose sight of the forest. So just keep in mind the basic outline of we are going to be spending the beginning of this morning going over the subtle difference that exists between the two Rebbe Shimons, Rebbe Shimon HaTimani and Rebbe Shimon ben Manasseh, who are in disagreement with our Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah is of the position that there can exist Kenas even though you can't marry her. Good, that's our Mishnah. Now the two Rebbe Shimons are of the position that if you can't marry her, then there is no Kenas. But because they said a little bit differently than one another, so we're now looking for what is the difference between those two positions. But keep in mind, though, we are spending a lot of energy. It's all Torah. But we're spending a lot of energy in the beginning of this morning going over the difference between two Tanaim who don't subscribe to our Mishnah, which effectively is what I'm saying is it's not the halacha, but still, because they said a little bit differently, that's where we're going to be spending our time trying to see what the difference is between the two. With that stated, we're going to go to a Gemara. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. So where we left off yesterday is that we're going to have four rounds of this. Two of them we did yesterday. Two of them we're going to be doing right now. The two rounds of which we did yesterday was round number one. What's the difference between them? And that's going to be Chai V'Lavin. In other words, simple, right? By Chai V'Lavin. So is there Tfisa's Kedusha by Chai V'Lavin? The answer is going to be yes. Can the marriage sustain? No. In other words, right, the Torah told you you weren't supposed to marry her. You married her. Okay, now the Torah is telling you that's wrong, and you should divorce her. So is there Tfisa's Kedushin? Yes. Is it Ruhla Kaima? No. Okay, so that was round number one. The Gemara says, yes, that's round number one. That's very good. But what about the Shita Rebbe Kiva? Remember Rebbe Kiva, which we've done numerous times back in Yevamos. And here now in Ksuvos, I believe this is our first venture into the opinion of Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Kiva is of the position that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Chai V'Lavin. And as a result of that, even a child, as a result of a Chai V'Lavin union, is going to be a mamzer. Okay, that's the Shita Rebbe Kiva. So if I subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, now tell me what's the difference between the Rabbi Shimon's. Okay, so that was a little bit of a challenge, but the Gemara said, and this was round number two that we did yesterday. Yeah, okay, you're right. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, the difference is going to be even smaller, but you know what the difference would be? It would be Aman al-Kohen Gadol. Meaning that according to Rabbi Akiva, yes, it's true. Every one of the Chai V'Lavin is going to produce a Mamzer, notable exception, and that is Kohen Gadol and Amana. Why? The Drasha. And we ended yesterday by quoting the Drasha. So right now, if we subscribe to Rabbi Kiva and we're looking for the difference between the two Rabbi Shimons, so the example would be Kohen Gadol to Almana. Okay. And with all that stated, the Gemara says, good, we are continuing Ula Rabbi Shevav. So we are in Chav Tesamud Beis and we are four lines from the bottom of the Amud. Ula Rabbi Yishev Adam Rabba Menitzach Al Akiva Ben Yosef Shayar Mar Kol Shein Lo Bia Bishol Havla Mamzer My Beinayhu. So the Gemara says, what about Rabbi Yishev? Rabbi Yishevav, his understanding of Rabbi Akiva is that every forbidden union is going to produce a Mamzer, right? And to be even more precise in terms of translating the words, Boa Vinitzach, let's scream about Rabbi Akiva Shita. In other words, a protest, a formal protest, meaning it can't be. Okay, in other words, it's an unacceptable position. And I say unacceptable, by the way, meaning Rabbi Kiva's position is a shita, meaning it is certainly to be regarded as a chalak of the Torah, but in terms of halach lamaisa, Rabbi Sheva saying is that we can't. In other words, obviously its impact, its effect is that there are going to be more mamzerim in this world if we subscribe to this opinion. So let us fully reject this opinion la halacha. That's what Rabbi Shevav is saying. But in his statement, what it comes out to be is that it should be, his understanding of Rabbi Kiva is that every forbidden union is in fact going to create a mamzer. So now, that would include even a kohen gadol to an amana, because every means every. So now, if that's true, so once again, what then becomes the difference between the two Rebbe Shimons? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the difference would be. As we are now on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph, Chai V'Aseh Mitzri V'Adomi. So let's leave the arena of Lavin in the Torah, all the negative prohibitions, and let's enter into Chai V'Aseh. Meaning there are certain unions which the Torah prohibits by positive instruction. Now, how do you create a prohibition by positive instruction? Now, the answer is, it's rare, but it happens. And notably, Mitzri Ve'adomi. Why? Because the Torah says the following. Somebody converts from either the nationality of Mitzrayim or Edom. So here's what you can do. What you can do is you can marry the third generation. And that means, and we did this in Yevamos at length. And when we go to Kedushin, we're going to be doing it again. But anyway, but what it means the following is that you'll have, let's say, two Egyptians. And by the way, when I say Egyptian, I'm talking about in classic times, meaning nowadays, the Gemara made this point already. Nowadays, Mitzrayim is not a composite of the original Mitzrayim, but rather it's a blend of different nationalities. Anyway, but here's what's going to happen though, assuming the Mitzrayim are Mitzrayim from the Torah. So they're going to convert and they're going to marry. That's generation one. That's G1. Then they're going to have children. That next generation's G2. Torah says not yet. Then they will have children. that's already G3. Ah, that you're allowed to marry. Okay, so in other words, the Torah says that when it comes to Mitzrim, so Dor Shlishi, only when you get to the third generation, then you're allowed to marry. Ah, so what does that now mean? It means that G1 and G2 are prohibited. Ah, but that prohibition is only learned about through the inference from the fact that the Torah says that you are to marry G3. So now we learn that's Lav Haba Mechlal Asay, the negative prohibition that is deduced from the positive instruction that you're only allowed to marry G3. Okay, good. So that's the, and this is what's called a Chayve Asay. So the Gemara says, good, that would be now a Nafkamina because Rabbi Akiva, even though he does say, and according to Rabbi Yeshiva, every prohibited union is going to result in a Mamzer, but this isn't an Isser. In other words, it's only an Isser that is deduced from a Mitzvah Sesei. It's a Lava Bamechlal Asay. So the Gemara says, that's very good. So that was round number 3 in terms of what's going to be the difference now between Shimon HaTimani and Shimon Ben Manasseh. Meaning, is there going to be Tfisas Kedushin over here? If I married a G1 or a G2, is there Tfisas Kedushin? Yes. Is it Rula Kaima? No. All right. So the Gemara says, Hanichal Rabbi Yesheva Vilafu Kamitam de Rabbi Simai Kausi, Shapir. Very good. If Rabbi Yesheva was responding to Rabbi Simai, so then that's very good. Eli Itam de Nafshe Kamar. But if, let's say, Rabbi Yesheva is not responding to Rabbi Simai, he was making an independent statement. Meaning it was not, Rashi explains this even a little bit better, but if Rabbi Yesheviv was not making just simply a reactionary comment to what Rabbi Simai said, but rather independently stating that every prohibited union is going to result in a mamzer, so every prohibited union would even include chayve aseh. So if that's true now, we have no longer found a difference between the two Rabbi Shimons. So, Bia Bisrael, I'm sorry, Kol Shein Lo Bia Bisrael Avla Mamzer, Ve'afilu Chai Ve'asei. So, my be now, so the Gemara says, so now what's going to be the difference? Meaning, one last try, this is going to be our fourth round of looking for a nafkamina between the two Rabbi Shimons. So, the Gemara says, the difference would be, Ika Benayu, Be'ula Le Kohen Gadol. So, the difference would be where, let's say, a Kohen Gadol to a woman who is not a Besula. Okay, now. Umayshna, I'm going to come back and explain that even better in just a moment. Just finishing up the Gemara's thread. Umayshna, meaning isn't that a prohibited union? Meaning, if we're understanding Rabbi Shevav as an independent statement that any time the union is prohibited, doesn't matter whether it's an Isser Karis, whether it's a Lav, whether it's even a Chayve Aseh. If it's a prohibited union, the child is a Mamzer. So over here, if a Kohen Gadol is instructed to marry a Besula, which of course deductively means that he can't marry a Ba'ula, so then of course it would also be included in this iteration, Rabbi Akiva, where the child would be a mamzer. So the Gemara says, "Umayshna to have le yaseh sheino shava bekol," because this is not an essay that is relevant to everybody. In fact, it's relevant to mostly nobody. The only relevancy of this particular essay is to the Kohen Gadol, and since it's so. It's such a limited Isser. So in other words, there's a lot of things working for this Isser or working against the Isser. You can go either way. In other words, it's first of all, not a lav, it's an essay. Number two, it only applies to a Kohen Gadol, doesn't apply to anybody else. So because it's so limited, even in this iteration, Rabbi Akiva, the child is not going to be a mamzer. Okay. Now there's a lot of workshopping over here that we need to do. Not a lot, but a little bit of workshopping that we need to do. In terms of this position of, in terms of this case that we've come up with, as now this is going to be the difference between the two Rabbi Shimons, a Kohen Gadol to a Ba'ula. Now, what are we saying? We're saying that if a Kohen Gadol now is Ma'anis a Ba'ula, so according to the one that there's Tfisas Kedushin, there is Tfisas Kedushin, even in this iteration, Rabbi Kiva, and therefore you pay Knasen, according to the other version where it's Ein Ruah L'Kaima, here it's Ein Ruah L'Kaima. Okay, now, again, just think it through. Kohen Gadol with a Ba'ula. What does that mean? It means that this woman over here had relations with another man historically. Okay, so Rashi points out, doesn't that make her a Zona? In other words, she had relations outside of the framework of marriage. And doesn't that make her a Zona? And a Zona is prohibited to a Kohen Minotaurah. And that's an Isser. So how do you get around that issue? So Rashi says, I'll tell you how we get around that issue. She had relations. It was a, but in other words, but it was The only Tana who says that a panu abala panuya asa zona, that when a single man and a single woman have relations and they're not in the context of marriage and she automatically becomes a zona, that's the Shita Rebbe Elazar. Rashi says we don't possibly like that Shita. Okay. In other words, not condoning, obviously, but in other words, she won't become a zona. A zona is only when a woman has a relation that's prohibited. So that's number one. Okay, number two, says Rashi. Okay, good. That's workshopping number one. Number two, says Rashi. If she is a ba'ula, so where's the knas? Meaning the only time that the fine of 50 shekels is imposed is when a man is ma'anis a woman who was a basula and he ruptured the basulim. So over here, if she's a ba'ula, there's no longer any basulim. So how can we use this example as this is going to be the difference where according to one, there will be a knas, and according to the other, there won't be a knas. Meanwhile, there was no basulim if she's a ba'ula. So Rashi says, okay, so we'll have to workshop this as well. And Rashi says that she's a ba'ula, shaloka darka. In other words, that she had relations historically with another man, but it was a kind of relations where on one hand, it is considered relations. Remember, we discussed this back in Yevamos. Bia, Kedarka and Shalom Kedarka are both considered Bia. So in this regard, she has the status of being a Ba'ula, even though it was Bia Shalom Kedarka. But meanwhile, she still has retained her Basulim. Okay, so right there, a number of technical issues just to get us through this this Nafkamina. Anyway, we are back in the Gemara. We're continuing in the Gemara. Ula Afuke. No, I know, I skipped. Okay, Amar of Chista. Okay, Laman Amar Aleph, about six lines from the top of the Amud. The Gemara now, Amar Chisda, Kalmodim, Abalanidah, Mashalim Kenas. Now, everyone's of the opinion that Abalanidah, so a man has relations with a Nida, and again, when I say relations over here, we're talking about in the context of Ones, so he's Ma'anis, this woman, and she's a Nida. So, is there going to be Kenas? Everyone says yes. Now, according to our Mishnah, it's a no-brainer, of course, because our Mishnah would say that even if you can't marry her, there's still going to be Kenas. But The point of Rav Chista is that even if I hold like the Rabbi Shimon's, Rabbi Shimon HaTemani, Rabbi Shimon HaMenasya, even they're going to be of the opinion that Habala Nida, there's going to be Kenas. Why? Lamanda Amish Bahavaya, Hanami Ish Bahavaya. Is there Tzvisas Kedushin by Nida? 100% yes. Right? Unequivocally. And Lamanda Amarula Kaima, Hanami Rula Kaima. On top of that, if you are Mekadosh Nida, can you remain married to her? Once again, unequivocally yes. 100%. Meaning, so, even though Nida, this was a discussion day one in Yevamos. I mean, Tosas over there discusses this at more length, but Nida is a very unusual example of Arayas. Nida, when a woman is a Nida, and a man has relations with her, that's an Isser Kares, and it's found in the Parsha of Arayas. And meanwhile, in other areas of Halacha, it does not follow the patterns of Arayas. Notably, a man's Mekadosh and Nida, Kedushin Tofsin, right? Is he allowed to remain married to her? Of course, meaning that's called marriage. In other words, every marriage, a woman's going to become a Nida. So obviously the marriage can sustain. So Nida is really an unusual variation of Isuri Karis. But because of that, so the Gemara is just simply noting that a man's Ma'an is a Nida. Of course he's going to have to pay Kenas according to everybody, to our Mishnah and the two Rebbe Shimon's. Okay, now we move on to the main point of today's daf, the main discussion today's daf, and that is, go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when a man's man is a woman that he's not allowed to marry, there's going to be a kenas. That's point number one of our Mishnah. And then the Mishnah also goes on to say that, let's say she converted, or she was emancipated, or alternatively, she was released from captivity before 3 years of age, she has besulim, and therefore a man's man is her, she's going to have kenas. And then the Mishnah went on to say, and what if he has, what if he's ma'anis, a woman who to him is an Isser Kares? So there's going to be Kenas. Okay. Now that last point of our Mishnah is that it's teaching us what? There really now, when a man is ma'anis, one of the Isure Kares, so there really are two punishments that he's looking at. One is Kares. Two, he has to pay money. Don't we say Kimle bin Rabbi Mine, that when you are subject to two punishments, you only get the harsher of the two? So as I explained yesterday when we did the Mishnah, and now we get to review again today, that's only when the two punishments are coming from Beis Din. Over here, Karis is coming min Hashamayim. The Kenas is coming from Beis Din. No. So we don't say Kimle under those circumstances. That is our Mishnah. The Gemara now is going to note that there are Tanaim who disagree with this point of the Mishnah. And what we're going to introduce ourselves today is to the opinion of Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana is going to be of the position that even if we're talking about Isser Kares, we say Kimlei. That if a person violates an act that's going to result in both in a punishment of Kares and money, the Kares is going to push away the money, the obligation to have to pay. Once again, just as a clear statement, what Rav Nechunya ben Hakana is not in agreement with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is against Rav Nechunya ben Hakana. So here we go now for a second time today, where we're going to be discussing a shita that's not lahalacha, but again, it's part and parcel of Torah. So just to discuss the shita in detail, and we're spending the rest of today discussing the shita. Okay, but it's not the accepted halacha. We learned Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana says Yom Kippur and Kishabbos the Tashlumim. So Yom Kippur and Shabbos are going to be the same for Tashlumim. To explain, my Shabbos mischayev benafsho upatar min haTashlumim, my Yom Kippur mischayev benafsho upatar min haTashlumim. So you know when it comes to Shabbos. So let's say, for example, I go and light somebody's house on fire on Shabbos. So now, with that lighting of the fire, so two things happen concurrently. One, I violated Shabbos. Two is that I caused damage, significant financial damage. And now I'm not going to have to pay. Okay, and I understand. In other words, it doesn't seem fair. But that's the rule of Kimlei b'derabbiminei. Because now my action warrants a capital punishment. So in that same action, it also results in all this financial damage. So Kimlei b'derabbiminei tells me that we only deal with the harsher of the two. And that means the Shabbos. And as we're going to learn together, even if, we'll do this tomorrow's daf, what's the day after? Whatever. It's coming up. And even if you don't actually receive the capital punishment, but as long as you have eligibility for capital punishment, we're still going to say Kamlei b'derabim minei. Again, that's coming up. So, according to Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, that's true by Shabbos. It's also true by Yom Kippur. Okay, also true by Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, isn't Yom Kippur the same as Shabbos? Almost. On Yom Kippur, violation of Yom Kippur, a intentional violation of Yom Kippur, does not result in a capital punishment. It only results in kares. Now, everything, of course, is relative, right? The reason why I said it only results in kares is, as opposed to Shabbos, where Shabbos, it's also kares, but it's also mitzvah bidei adam. Okay, so, according to Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, they're the same. In that, if one were to, again, let's go back to the same example. You light somebody's house on fire on Yom Kippur. So there, it's kares and mamon. So according to Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, the kares now is going to trump the mamon, and therefore you don't pay. So my time at Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, Amar Abayi. So what's the reason behind Rav Nechunya ben Hakana? And so the Gemara now is going to give us two presentations of how to understand where did Rav Nechunya ben Hakana get this idea that we'll say Kimlei b'derabbi minei, not only by Mises b'de Adam, but even by Karis as well. So the Gemara says, Namar, Asom b'de Adam, and Namar, Asom b'de Shemaim. Ma'ason amor b'de Adam, Pater menat Hashomim. Ma'ason amor b'de Shemaim, Pater menat Hashomim. Torah on two occasions, uses the words Ason. Okay, it could be more than two, but we're going to be focusing on these two. So first we are, I'll give the background, I'll give the psukim. So first, we're going to turn our attention to the Parshas Mishpatim. Kechin atzu anashim v'nakfu isha hara. So two men are fighting, and a woman gets right in the middle, and she happens to be pregnant. V'yatzu yelada v'lo yihya ason. Now, she was hit accidentally as she tried to break up the fight. Okay, I'm adding a little bit of drama to the story, but anyway. But she was hit unintentionally. And as a result of that, she miscarried. V'lo yihye ason. But she didn't die. In other words, she was hit hard and so hard that the fetus miscarried, but she didn't die. So what does the Torah say under those circumstances? Anosh ye anesh. Kaishir yeshis alav bala isha v'nasam b'flilim. So now you're going to go to court because now there is financial consideration. Parenthetically, if she does die, the Torah then goes on to say, well, then now under those circumstances, you don't pay. Why? So because, of course, now it's murder. And once it's murder, kimlei b'derabbiminei, and you don't pay for the finance for the finances.
Not murdering the fetus.
Ah, so it is murdering the fetus, but the killing of the fetus is not considered murder. In other words, it's asur, it's absolutely prohibited, but it's not considered murder. Okay, and that is obviously it's an important point. Right, the Gemara in Sanhedrin in the 8th parak discusses this in more detail, somewhat more detail. But you're right, correct. In other words, that's not an act of murder. It's prohibited, but it's not an act of murder. Okay. What iser does it fall on? Good. It's a great question, not for us. Not for now. Okay, so anyway, therefore, as far as punishment is concerned, so you're really looking at the financial implications of that under those circumstances. Good. So that's one ason in the Torah. Where else do we find the word ason? So we're going to back up and we're going to go to Bereishis. And Vayomer lo yere bini imachem. Okay, so this is Parshas Miketz, where Yaakov says to the brothers, Binyamin is not going with you, right? I know you need him, but he's not going with you. Vayomer lo yere bini imachem ki achiv meis v'hu levado nishar ukaro ason v'aderech asher telchuba. Because something bad's going to happen to him. Right? The word ason is a tragedy. So something really bad is going to happen to him. And at that point in time, I'm not sure if I can handle it anymore. Okay. So anyway, so we see the word ason on two occasions. And what's the significance of that? So just like ma ason, I'm going back to the Gemara. I'm rereading the last two lines of the Gemara. Ma ason amor bide adam patam and tashlamim. Af ason amor bide shamayim patam and tashlamim. So the ason mentioned in Parshas Mishpatim, that's certainly Bidei Adam, right? Two men are fighting, and they hit a woman. And so there's a pitur of Kimle B'derabi Mine, by when it's Bidei Adam. Now when we go back to Yaakov telling the brothers, I don't want an ason to happen to Binyamin, so that ason is what kind of ason? The Gemara is this alleging that ason is Bidei Shamayim. Ah. And since the same word is used to describe the two, so now Rav Nechunya ben Akana, according to Abaye, creates an equivalency, just like the Bidei Adam is going to create a Petor of Kimle B'derabim Mine, so too is the Bidei Shamayim. So the Gemara says, Maskev l'Rav Adar Bar'ava, the Gemara says, really? Mimai dechi kamazi lo Yaakov levnei altinim apachim de Bidei Shamayim ninu? Dilmal ar yevigan vidi Bidei Adam ninu. So first of all, how do I know that when Yaakov says, I don't want an ason to befall Binyamin, how do I know that he's talking about something which is Bidei Shamayim? The Gemara right now assumes that, let's say, for example, cold and heat. Sinim upachim. So that's Bidei Shamayim. That's all up to Shamayim. We have no control over that. In a moment, we're going to challenge that point. But right now, let's just assume that we have no control over that. That's Bidei Shamayim. Maybe it's talking about Aryeh Veganave, to Bidei Adam Ninu. Maybe on the other hand, what Yaakov was worried about was lions and thieves. And that's not Bidei Shamayim, that's Bidei Adam. Again, another really interesting point, which the Gemara is assuming. We'll come back to that as well. So, Atu Yaakov Ahayzar, Ahalo Izar, Yaakov Akokomili Izar. So the Gemara says, wait one second. When Yaakov was worried about Binyamin, why limit his concern? Right? Let's go to maximum worrying. Meaning that I'm really worried something's going to happen to Binyamin. What's going to happen to him? Anything. In other words, something that's Bidei Adam, something is Bidei Shamayim. Okay, there's no limit to what Yaakov was worried about. And so, once again, it could very well be that his concern was including also Bidei Shamayim, and that gets us to the idea that just like the word Ason by Yaakov is Bidei Shamayim, and the Ason by in Parshas Mishpatim is Bidei Adam, creating an equivalency. Okay, so the Gemara made a couple of interesting assumptions, and the Gemara now is going to back up and challenge those assumptions. Sinim apachim Bidei Shamayim nina v'atanya, kol Bidei Shamayim chutz mitzinim apachim. You know, everything is within the Ashkacha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but when it comes to cold and when it comes to heat, so that's not, that's totally within our control. How do I know? It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Mishlei. You know, if it's cold outside, here's what you can do. Okay, and I know your mother told you this. So, and that is you can put on a coat. Okay. So in other words, it's totally within our control to control not the elements, but in terms of how we react and respond to the elements. Okay? Lengthy Tosfos over here discussing this very point, but the Gemara is just simply saying that's not Bidei Shamayim, that's Bidei Adam. V'su Aryeh V'ganavei Bidei Adam Ninu V'amar Rav Yosef V'chi Tanei Rebbi Chiya. And also, the other assumption that was made, which is that if you're attacked by a lion, or even if you're attacked by ganavim, those are people. So that's the Gemara said that was bidei adam. The Gemara says, really, it's bidei adam. That's bidei shamayim. How do I know that? Because of the following brisa. So, we no longer have a Sanhedrin after Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And not only did we not have a Sanhedrin, but the, but obviously that what results from that is that there's no more any kind of capital punishment. No capital punishment, no corporal punishment, not Malchus as well. But the Arba Mises Labatlu. But the as far as the actual forms of execution, they're still here. The Gemara says, what? That didn't make any sense. Labatlu. So, Habatlu. What do you mean? If Sanhedrin is not litigating, if they're not judging, so then of course there's no longer Mises Beis Din. So Ella, the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. Clarification, as we are now on the top of the Amud Beis. Din Arba Mises Labatlu. Now what it means is that people will still be put to death, just not via Beis Din. Meaning, the form of death that a person is going to undergo, if he deserves of such, is going to come directly from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, for example, we're going to give examples for each one of the Mises Beis Din. So, for example, Mishan is Chayv Skila. So, somebody who's Chayv Skila, just right, I'm just going off the top of my head. Avodah Zarah, for example, is a Chayv Skila. And so, therefore, a person's over to Avodah Zarah, and there's no longer a Beis Din. So what Akash Baruch Hu is going to do is that Akash Baruch Hu will have him die, but just simply through something that is skila-like. For example, Onafa Menagago, Chayador Soso. So either he's going to fall off a roof, or he's going to be run over by a wild animal. In other words, trauma, blunt trauma. Mishan is Chayiv Streifa. Someone's Chayiv Streifa, right? Just giving one example, a person who has relations with his daughter. So Chiyuv Shreifa. So O Nofo B'Deleika, O Nachash Machisho. So he's going to get burnt in fire or be bitten by a snake. The venom of a snake is considered something that is inflammatory. Omishin is Chayv Hariga. Somebody is Chayv Herig. So the execution of Herig is where he gets decapitated. Right, a bit of an exaggeration. His head is not chopped off, but in other words, he's cut from the front of his neck. So O Nimsal Machos, so list him by Malav. So what's going to happen is that such an individual is going to be handed over to the non-Jewish authorities, where that's basically what they're going to do to him. Alternatively, he will be held up by bandits and not just held up, but killed by bandits and they're going to slit his throat. So Umishin is Chayiv Chenek, someone who is Chayiv Chenek, right? That's most of the Chayiv Mises based in, right? Neil, for example, adultery. So that's subject to Chenek. So Otovei Banari is going to be drowned in the river. Oh, Mes Bisrun Ki. Or he's going to die through some sort of disease that asphyxiates him. Okay, so what's the problem right now? So the Braisa assumed Tinam Apachim is Bidei Shamayim, and Arya Veganav is Bidei Adam, and what did we just see? The opposite. So the Gemara says, okay, good. See, if we just saw the opposite, so I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll flip. El Epoch. Arya Veganav is Bidei Shamayim, Tinam Apachim Bidei Adam. Okay, fine. So just flip it over. So now, where do we stand right now? What an interesting conclusion, and that is that with the cold and the heat, that's not Minas Shamayim, right? You went outside and you're freezing, right? That's not divine providence. That's called, you were foolish. Okay, I said it nicely, right? You were negligent. Okay, and a person Rachmanis dies a tragic death. That's Minas Shamayim. That's divine providence. That's Hashkacha. Okay. And the Gemara's comment over here that anyone who's going to be Chayiv, anyone of the Dalmis is based on, is going to die in something similar to that. So Tosfos raises the obvious issue, which is, I don't know, you look around, you'll see that we have people, many people in this world, going back to the, whatever. This is an old issue. This is one of the most classic issues. And that is that you see people who seemingly should be Chayiv a particular type of Misa, And they live a long life and they die comfortably and what the Gemara here is promising, we don't actually see it play out. So, okay, in other words, the old issue of Schar V'Onish and how does it work? And our Gemara seems to indicate that it works in a very specific manner, and it doesn't seem like it works in that manner. So Tosfos on the top of the Amud addresses that. He gives an answer. See Tosfos, we're gonna go on. Okay. Rava Amar, time of the Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana mehacha. Okay, so where are we right now? So again, Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana says that we're going to say Kimle b'derabim minei. Not only when the two punishments are both bidei Adam, but when one is bidei Shemaim and the other one's bidei Adam. Okay, right. So Yom Kippur, for example. So a person violates Yom Kippur, that's kares, not misas bidei Adam. Therefore, if somebody lights somebody's field on fire on Yom Kippur, so according to Rav Nechunya ben Akana, kimle b'derabim minei, you don't have to pay. So and how do I know that? So we had one understanding of how he arrived at that, and that was Abaye. So Abaye says it's because of the double usage of the word ason in the context of Parshas Mishpatim, where a woman was hit incidentally and miscarried, and you have to pay. So that's one. And the other one is by Yaakov and Binyamin. Yaakov's concern over Binyamin. And since the word ason is used in both locations, and since the ason by Mishpatim is certainly Bidei Adam, and the ason by Yaakov Avinu was also Bidei Shamayim, so therefore it creates an equivalency between the two.
I don't see how anyone could argue against everything being
Bidei Shamayim. Right? Even Sinem Abachim.
I'm just saying.
You can say it. Okay. In other words, the Gemara, not only the Gemara, by the way, the Pasuk and Mishlei.
Right.
Okay, fine. Okay. So,
I understand that they think the cause is Bidei Adam, but the reality is we all know that
everything is Bidei Shamayim. Good. So, right, I direct you, what's it called? I'm not the best person to talk about Hashkacha and the outline of Hashkacha and how it works. Whatever. I'll direct you to people who know this stuff much better than I do. So, but in other words, the Gemara says it really, like, just matter of fact. Right. Like, right? Dover Pasha.
That's what's bothering me.
Okay, fine. Okay. So, Rava Amar, time of the Rav Nechunya ben Akana Mehacha. So here now we're going to have our second source for Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And again, just to reiterate, just so that we're clear, in other words, so that we don't get lost over here. In other words, we are spending the entirety of today's daf, most of today's daf, litigating a position, understanding a position that it's not accepted. Meaning, we don't accept the opinion of Rav Nechunya ben Akana. But again, it is a shita. It's part of the corpus of Torah. And so therefore, every single moment that we spend time analyzing it, understanding it, so that's Schar Limud HaTorah. So, the Gemara says, V'imalei mi'alei mu'am ha'aretz esenei min ha'isha hu, b'sito mizaru l'molech, v'samti ani es panai ba'isha hu, uv'mishpachto v'ikarti oso. Okay, so here, the Torah speaks in very strong terms about somebody who worships Molech, hands her son over to Molech. A Molech was some sort of idolatry that existed at the time. And what you do is you take your child and you pass him through fire. Does the child die in the fire? It's a machlokas. Anyway, the point for us is the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following. Look, that's punishable by death. You need to take care of it. But if you don't take care of it, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so I'm going to step in. And v'hi karti. And I'm going to administer kares. And basically, what do we see in this pasuk? Is that there's somebody who's subject to Mises Bidei Adam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now if you don't deal with it, so I'm going to give kares. So, kares is a equivalency to Mises Bidei Adam. Now, Amar Torah, kares shali ke Mises shalachem. Ma Mises shalachem patam min ha-tashlumim, ma kares shali patam min ha-tashlumim. And in this pasuk, we're learning not only the idea of his chayv kares, but on top of that, the equivalency that exists between kares and Mises Bidei Adam. In that, just like Mises Bidei Adam, it will create a patur of Kimle B'derabim Minei, so too will Kares as well. Okay, so, two different sources for Reb Nechunya Ben Akana, either the Ason usage in both Mishpatim and Parshas Miketz, and that's Abaye's understanding, or Rava is just simply the Pasuk that describes the ownership should go for somebody who is Mavir Ben Olamolech. My ikabein revela abaye, the Gemara says nafkamina between the two. Yeah, there's going to be a nafkamina. Second time today, we're looking for a nafkamina on a position that is not accepted la halacha. Okay, so my ikabein revela abaye ikabein zar shachot shuma. So let's say you have a non-kohen in shuma. Now a non-kohen in shuma. So that is an iser. Good. What is the punishment for that particular iser? Misa bidei shamayim. Now, Misa Bidei Shamayim is one notch below Kares. Okay, once again, this is going to be our second time we're referencing the first daf of Yevamos. Tosus over there also discusses what exactly, how do we quantify Kares, and how do we quantify Misa Bidei bidei shamayim. And these are not easy tests to do. And I'm not going to spend the time right now doing it, although it's extraordinarily important. However, all we need to know is that from a spiritual punishment, karis is above, misa bidei shamayim is just one notch below. So considering that, so the Gemara says, so let's say, zar shachal truma. So now, are we going to say, kim leba derabbe minei, according to Rav Nechonya ben Akana? It depends on which understanding of Rav Nechonya ben Akana we go with. Le Abaye Pater. So according to Abaye, you're going to be Pater. Why? Because Abaye understood it from the Ason Ason. Now, the Ason by Yaakov, did it mention what kind of Bidei Shemayim concern it was? No. In other words, I'm worried about any kind of Bidei Shemayim. So that means that Abaye has a more inclusive Bidei Shemayim. Whether it be Kares, whether it be Misa Bidei Shemayim, that's going to create a Patur. So in this case, it'll be Pater. However, Ula Rava Chayev, but according to Rava, you're going to be Chayev. Why? Because according to Rava, the source of Rav Nechonya ben Akana is the pasuk regarding Molech. Molech is very specific. If you don't put him to death, I'm going to give him Kares. So there, the equivalency is between Misa and Kares. Misa Bidei Shemayim, it's not Kares, it's less than Kares. So therefore, it's not going to be, according to Rava, even Rav Nechonya ben Akana, in the case of Misa Bidei Shemayim, there wouldn't be a Patur. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Now we're going to be confronting another issue, and this is going to be our last topic for today's daf, but this is going to be an extraordinarily important one. So in other words, now we're discussing the concept, the idea of Kimle B'derabim Minei, in terms of the detail of Be'idna. Okay, so again, Kimle B'derabim Minei, which we're going to be spending the next number of days speaking about at length. In order for an action, a single action, which results in a double punishment, and the harsher one, which is going to overshadow the lesser one. So this idea is only going to be true when the two are coming simultaneously, what the Gemara describes as bi'idna. And so therefore, the Gemara now is going to be stuck on a technicality. And that is that when you eat shruma, and you're not a kohen, so the question of, is there kimle, is there no kimle, according to Rav Nechonya ben Akana, well, what's the source? Is it the Ason? Is it the pasuk regarding Molech? The Gemara now is addressing the fact that, wait one second, is it simultaneous? Meaning, is it Be'idna? And that's what the Gemara is going to address. We're going to start the Gemara's discussion right now. Obviously, this continues into tomorrow's daf. Let's say you steal the chalev of your friend. Okay, so you go over to your neighbor's yard, and he's got an animal, shechting the animal, whatever the case is. He has chalev. Okay, chalev are the forbidden fats of an animal, right? Eating of chalev is an iser kares. Now, you and I do not experience this because the fat that exists in the meat that we eat, that's not chalev, that's shuman, right? That's muscular fat. The chalev over there are the hard fats that surround various organs. The Gemara in the third parak of Chulin goes over in detail anatomically which fats are actually considered chalev. Okay, but anyway, if we were to eat chalev, so the onus would be kares. It's an iser with an onus of kares. So let's say I go over to my friend, I steal his chalev, and I eat it v'achlo shu chayev. So even Rav Nechonya ben Akana would say that you're going to be chayev. Why? Wait one second, Rav Nechonya ben Akana, isn't that the same one who just taught us that the iser kares is going to exempt you from the lesser punishment of having to pay back? Yeah, but and here, the eating of chalev is an iser kares. So the Gemara says, yes, that's true, but the two onshim did not come simultaneously. And the Shekvarn is chayev b'gneva, konim shabal, lidei iser chalev. Because remember, what did you do? You stole and you ate. Stealing creates a financial liability. The eating creates the iser kares. They're not happening at the same time. And so therefore you're going to be chayev on both. The only time we'll say kimle b'derabe minei exempts you is only when it's simultaneous. And ama de be'idna da'agbe kanyim is chayev b'nash lo have ad da'achalei. So achinami be'idna da'agbe kanyim is chayev b'nash lo have ad da'achalei. So over here, we're trying to give an example where there's going to be a difference in terms of how you understand Rav Nechonya ben Akana. And the example of Zar Sha'achal Truma, so what did you have to do? You had to pick up, you had to go over to a Kohen. The Truma doesn't have to be by Kohen, it could be still by the farmer, whatever the case is. But the first thing you got to do is you got to pick up the Truma to take it. Okay, and that's now creates a financial liability. And then when you eat it, So that's Misa B'dei Shemayim, but they're not simultaneous. So halcha b'may skin and kagosh etachov lo chaver lo toch piv. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to try to now come up with a case where they're simultaneous. So what happens is that someone takes the truma and puts it in your mouth. So you never picked it up. So the Gemara says, well, this, even as we say this, this needs more clarification. Sof kevin de la'ase kanyam is chayv enough shalo have ad debale. So the Gemara says, okay, but even here, we can separate the two liabilities. You're chewing on it, meaning so someone put it in your mouth. Okay, fine. Now you chew on it. That's the act of geneva in the chewing. Now, when you swallow it, that's the misa bidei shamayim. Once again, it's not simultaneous.
But you didn't steal, somebody else stole it.
No, somebody put it in your mouth. So, okay, fine. Fair question. But right now, just focus on the you. Someone put it in your mouth. So, it doesn't belong to you. It shouldn't be in your mouth. So when you chew it now, that's your act of geneva. Now, when you swallow it, that's your misa bidei shamayim, and they're not happening simultaneously. So kagon shetachalo toch beis ablia. So the Gemara says, well, someone shoved it into your throat. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Even that needs clarification. I know. In other words, because of this issue of simultaneous, the Gemara is going to get to an okimta, which I understand. It's going to be strange. I totally get it. So the Hechidami, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Even as we say that, now the Gemara says, now, if you can cough it up, cough it up. And Elah, I know. And Elah Matzila Adur Am I Chayiv. And if you couldn't cough it up, so then why would you be Chayiv? In other words, that's called Ones, an Ones Rachmana Patre. So the Gemara says, you could have coughed it up, but it would have been with great difficulty. So, okay, fine. And now at this point in time, we are really twisted into a pretzel in order to get to a case of simultaneity. Okay. Could be that that's a word.
Yes.
Okay. All right, good. So the Gemara really had to twist into a pretzel in order to get here, but fine. So there could be a case, unusual, unlikely, but there could be a case where this is simultaneous. And once again, now that we have the case, so now we can go back and say, we have a nafka minute between Abai and Rava. Meaning, according to Abai, the Ason is the sorcerer of Nechunya ben Akana, making no distinction between what kind of Bidei Shemayim, whether it's Karis, whether it's Misa Bidei Shemayim, if there's that, and there's also financial liability, Kamle B'derabim Mine, you're going to be Pater. And then, according to Abaye, no. Because Abaye learns it out, not from Ason, but rather learns it out from the Pasuk by Molech, where there it says that if you don't do what you're supposed to do, if you don't put him to death, so then I'm going to give him kares, creating equivalency between misa bidei adam and kares, but it only is limited to kares, not misa bidei shemaim. And the example and the nafka mina would be where you're a non kohen and you eat truma, where there it's misa bidei shemaim. According to Abaye, kimle b'derabe mine. According to a Rava, we don't say kimle b'derabe mine. Rav Papa Amar, I'll do one more for today, and we'll leave Rav Ashi for tomorrow. Rav Papa Amar, kagon shetachlo chaver mashkin shochum l'toch piv. I'll give you another example where you won't be able to spit it out, and that is that let's say it was mashkin shochuma, meaning it wasn't a food, but rather it was a drink. Remember, wine and oil is subject to truma. In fact, subject to truma min haTorah. So if someone takes truma wine and puts it in your mouth. Now, spitting it out is no longer going to be an option, meaning you spit it out, who's going to eat it after that? So who's going to drink it after that? As opposed to a food, I know it's disgusting, but as opposed to a food where if you spat it out, so somebody else may eat it. Okay, that's the Gemara's assumption. So that would be another way to frame the example, where once again it gets us back now we have an afkamino. We're left with Rav Ashi. Tomorrow we'll start with Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi really opens up the door to another discussion. Okay, these are the Gemaras, meaning the reason why. I discussed this yesterday, but now here we are. These are the reasons why this perek, right? It's a strange perek to be so popular in the yeshivas, but this is a really popular perek in the yeshivas, right? When I was in NYU and had the schus of learning with Rav Braunschweigel, so this is a parak that we learned together, the third parak of Ksuvas. The reason why is because of Kimlei B'derabim Mine, meaning it's such an interesting concept, such a such a tantalizing topic in which you have two punishments that are happening simultaneous, and the harsher one is going to. It's such an interesting topic that it makes for a discussion. And the Gemara is going to continue discussing it, aside from today's daf, tomorrow's daf as well. I believe Lamed Beis, we're still going to be on topic in terms of Kimelei B'Darabim meaning. Okay, so here we are. Oh, let's just quickly recap our daf today. So, number one, we finished off the differences between two Rebbe Shimons. Rebbe Shimon doesn't agree with our Mishnah. Rebbe Shimon says that if there's no marriage, there's no knas. If you can't marry her, so you don't pay her knas. But the Rebbe Shimons said it's slightly different than one another, and so because of that slight difference in the way they said it, one said it like Ru'i L'Kaima, the other one says it where there's no Tfisas Kedushin, so what's going to be the Nafkamina? So we had four rounds of possible Nafkaminas of the two Rebbe Shimons, who again, by the way, are not in agreement with our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah is of the position that Knas and marriage can be decoupled, are in fact decoupled. A man's minus a woman, he can't marry her, he still has to pay her Knas. That's our Mishnah. Right, according to the Rebbe Shimons, they don't agree with that. They said it a little bit differently. The Nafkamina between them, that started off our morning. Then we learned the comment of Rav Chista, the statement of Rav Chista, that when a man is minus a Nida, there's absolutely going to be a Knas according to everybody. Why? Because you can marry her. There's Tfisas Kedushin, it's Ru'u L'Kaima. Okay. And then our big topic for today, and that is the Shita of Nechunya ben Akana. Our Mishnah is of the opinion that when a man is ma'anes, any one of the arayos, so he's going to have he's going to have to pay a knas. That's our Mishnah. Why? Because in Issachar, he says, not going to knock out the financial liability, the knas liability. On the other hand, Rav Nechunya ben Akana is of the position, it does knock it out. Meaning that the Kares penalty is going to knock out the financial liability. We're going to say Kimle b'derabe minei when the harsher punishment is not just a corporal punishment, but even a spiritual punishment of Kares. How did Rav Nechunya ben Akana arrive at that conclusion? That really is today's daf. We saw Abaye's limud of Asan Asan. We saw Rava's limud of the psukim regarding Molech. What's the difference between Abaye and Rava? Effectively, the difference is going to be Misa Bidei Shamayim. According to Abaye, it includes Misa Bidei Shamayim, and according to Rava, it does not include Misa Bidei Shamayim. And then finally, we finished off today by discussing Be'idna. In order to have the Petur of Kimle B'Derabimine, it has to occur simultaneous. And so we just came up with examples of what would be simultaneous, specific to the example of eating the Truma of a Kohen. So how do you get Misa Bidei Shamayim and Geneva to occur simultaneously? So the Gemara gave a couple of examples.
What time is that?